Welcome to the KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast Series, delivering fresh insights and perspectives around major accounting and financial reporting developments across a range of timely topics. We thank you for joining today.
Hello, I'm Karen Silverman, a partner at KPMG. Today's podcast is a follow-up to an earlier episode and will cover some additional environmental, social, and governance issues. ESG continues to be top of mind for many regulators and companies. Our focus for today's episode is recent regulatory developments at the SEC. I'm joined by two returning guests, Julie Santoro, a fellow partner in the firm's Department of Professional Practice, and Maura Hodge, our KPMG Impact Audit Lead Partner. Julie and Maura have both been closely monitoring the regulatory developments related to ESG and should have some great insights on where things stand today. Julie, Maura, thank you both for being here today. Let's start off by discussing the process that the SEC has undertaken with regard to ESG. Julie, could you give us some background on what the SEC has been up to?
Hi, Karen. Thanks for that introduction. So yes, let me start with some background on what the SEC has been doing around ESG. And as we've talked about on one of our previous podcasts, it's really been a lot of activity. But today we're going to focus on the SEC's public consultation on ESG. And that was an informal request for public input. It ran from mid-March to mid-June. The focus of that consultation was climate change disclosures. However, the SEC did also welcome comments on the broader areas of ESG. So, for example, human capital and diversity. Since the comment period closed, we've been looking at the huge number of comment letters that the SEC received, including a deeper dive on 100 of those. And we've really been trying to look at what the general themes and trends are in those comment letters.
Great. Thanks, Julie. So now that we've had a chance to look at those comment letters, what are we seeing there? What are the key themes to highlight?
Well, if we look overall at the 100 comment letters, the first thing to note is this was not a situation where you had binary questions posed by the SEC and you kind of answer yes, no. These were really discussions from commentators. And so we've done a qualitative analysis looking at what was being said. We've looked at comment letters right across the board. So from industry associations, preparers, the investor community, through to the profession, ratings agencies and standard setters. And of course, if we start looking at those, we did have some commentators who say that they don't think the SEC has a role to play in ESG reporting and that absolutely the SEC should not go there. But if we put that to one side, the overall impression was two kind of frames of mind. One was absolutely agree with the SEC needing to do something and acting in this space. And there were a variety of kind of reasons behind that. Or otherwise kind of not so keen, but really resigned to the fact that the SEC is going to act. So on that basis, want to have a voice and kind of raise their concerns before the SEC does come up with its proposals. So in terms of who responded, there were a large number of industry associations. There were actually, Karen, fewer large preparers than I expected. And there, our best guess is that they are waiting for the actual proposals. So strong majority of the industry associations wary of disclosures. A lot of them favored an explicit investor lens to materiality. They cautioned that they would like to see any disclosures furnished rather than actually being filed, and also raised that they'd like the SEC to look at appropriate safe harbor protection for best efforts disclosures. Many preparers did raise those same concerns, but looking at the preparers, the thing that also came through for me was really favoring principles-based disclosures. And there were lots of examples given of existing standard setting organizations in this space, and a caution, really a request for the SEC not to reinvent the wheel. And a couple of the examples of those organizations were the Sustainability Accounting Standards Board, or the SASB here in the US, and also a lot of people mentioned the IFRS Foundation's Global Initiative. But particularly looking at the investor community, which I guess is really key in looking at these comment letters, is really support for the disclosures recommended by the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosures, or the TCFD. And in actual fact, Karen, if I step back and look across all constituents, my overall impression is really that the TCFD framework is the most favoured. And I think that really ties into another idea, which is having a global baseline of disclosures. At the end of the day, that's kind of easier for preparers, because they're operating globally. And that doesn't necessarily mean they're listed in other countries. It's where their customers are, where their supply chains are. So, Karen, that's a very, very brief snapshot. There's obviously lots and lots of detail behind this, but I think these were my main high-level takeaways.
Great. Thanks, Julie. You raise a lot of really interesting points. Can you give us a quick overview of what the TCFD disclosures are? What has the task force actually recommended?
In a nutshell, the TCFD framework comprises 11 disclosures in four different areas. So number one, you have governance. So that's really, what is the company's governance around climate-related risks and opportunities? Number two, you have strategy. What are the actual and potential impacts on the company's business, on its strategy, on its financial planning? Number three is risk management. How does the company identify and assess and manage its climate-related risks? And then it comes down to quantitative disclosures. So number four is metrics and targets. What does the company use to assess and manage climate-related risks and opportunities? And those disclosures also cover greenhouse gas emissions. So there you have it, Karen, a very quick summary.
These seem pretty comprehensive, and it sounds like there's a lot of information to digest here. Maura, can you give us some of your perspective? What are you hearing from boards and clients?
Sure, Karen. So I'm having conversations on a daily basis with a number of clients and across all different industries and their boards. And the number one thing that we're seeing everyone doing right now is asking internal audit to start to dig into ESG, understand the role of finance and potentially the SOX testing team around this data. With the focus of the SEC on the information and on the reporting, it's obviously raised the level of interest and importance of the data that's going out into the public. And I think the biggest concern is that the information is not rigorously prepared and that there's not necessarily the supporting documentation behind it. And so if this is going to be a regulated area, we of course need to put a little bit more focus on it. The next follow-on question then is really who should own sustainability and ESG reporting? In the past, especially for companies who have been doing this for a long time, there's typically been a small sustainability group with kind of a manager who's been responsible for going across the organization and collecting data and then putting it into a report, building out the stories around it and putting it on the website. But we, of course, also have a long history of SEC reporting teams and finance teams who have been responsible for putting together the financial statements. And now they're trying to understand how do we work together and how do we move forward around this new data and this new information. So one of the places that we're starting and that they're starting is first just going to the basics and understanding the current process. Performing a walkthrough, creating flowcharts, understanding the flow of data, and then identifying the controls or the lack thereof in the process. The number one thing that comes out in those discussions is the need for technology. and understanding how they can use existing processes and procedures and technology in order to start collecting and capturing ESG information. And finally, we're getting a question on how the certifications might work and if the SEC will require CEOs and CFOs to certify to the validity of the data, similar to kind of what we have on the financial statements and in particular for SOX audits. And what I know right now is that we don't have any information on whether it will be required or not, but we do recommend it's a great process to start putting into place. As I mentioned before, it's really unclear sometimes how and where this data is coming from. And by starting to build certifications into the overall process, it allows management to get comfortable with the accuracy of the information and the support that's behind it, so that should the SEC require certification of the information, you'll already have the mechanism in place to do that.
Thanks, Maura. That's really helpful. There seem to be a lot of moving pieces here. If you were to recommend maybe two or three things that a board should focus on, what would those be?
At the board level, I would say it's primarily focused on strategy. But strategy is obviously a big term and a big topic, and so I'll break it down in a couple of ways. First of all, it is the company's approach or look at ESG. So how do you embed ESG into the overall business strategy? And in particular, what topics are you going to focus on? We know the SEC has particular areas, including climate change and diversity and inclusion, but there are obviously other areas that fall under the ESG umbrella that are important to companies. And so making sure the board understands what the ESG strategy is, both at the topical level as well as at the reporting level. So what targets are you setting? How do you plan on meeting those targets? And then what measurement techniques are you using to be able to track your progress? The second area of board focus is really, again, around the rigor of data collection and then the potential for assurance, whether that's internal audit, performing assurance work over the data and then reporting up to the board, or moving to an external third party to provide that service for you.
Thanks so much, Maura. Those are some good tips on where to focus. Julie, there's been a lot of developments in a pretty short period of time here, but what comes next? What do we expect from the SEC in the future?
Karen, well, the next step is the specific proposals. The SEC announced its regulatory agenda in June, and this included proposals on climate change, on human capital, in particular diversity, and cybersecurity risk governance. We are looking out for the proposals in October, or I guess at least by the end of the year, and we won't necessarily get all three of those sets of proposals together. Personally, I think these proposals are going to be groundbreaking in terms of the US reporting environment, and definitely something to look out for and consider commenting on. I don't think that anybody wants these proposals to pass them by.
Okay, Julie. Well, it sounds like there's still a lot more to come, so we'll stay tuned for more developments here. Julie and Maura, thank you both so much for spending time chatting about this today. I certainly enjoyed revisiting the ESG topic and hearing about these recent developments, and I think you provided some really helpful considerations for companies. I appreciate both of your time today, and thank you for sharing your thoughts and insights with us.
Thanks, Karen. It was great to be back talking about this topic with you.
If our listeners would like more information on ESG, our KPMG Impact site has a wealth of information available. We also have a page on our FRV site focused on ESG. So there's tons of information out there, and I'd absolutely encourage you to go visit those pages. Thanks again, Julie and Maura.
Thank you for listening to this KPMG Financial Reporting Podcast. For more in-depth financial reporting developments, analysis, and podcast episodes, please visit frv.kpmg.us and be sure to subscribe today. Also, we are social. You can also follow us on LinkedIn at KPMG Financial Reporting View or with hashtag KPMGFRV.